Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Monday afternoon. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. We head east. We do that every Monday at this time. We bring in Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports on Twitter. Sports Animal WNML there in Knoxville. And also, he is a new daddy. Yeah, congratulations, Vinny.
Yeah, would you like to clarify that?
Or well, I was going to let you do that.
I was about to say, what, is this something I missed?
Yeah, I know. That's why I did. That was a cliffhanger.
Yeah, we got to get to gate two, date two before we work on any marriage. I'm a doggy dad now and got a sweet little princess mini golden doodle. So been waiting for the right one, and she's just awesome. She just is so chill and sweet. So yeah, excited about it. Speaking of date two, it's only day two of me being a doggy dad, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll have to chart this to see if we'll just remember the glee in Vince's voice right now. We'll see if that continues as the weeks go along. I don't think there was probably much glee in Jeremy Pruitt's voice after the second half of the game in Athens. What the heck happened in the second half? You talking about a tale of two halves. There you go. That sums up that game in a nutshell.
Yeah, and look, it's when you play good teams and you're inconsistent, eventually they're going to make you pay. And Tennessee has been inconsistent in their first two games. You saw some promise. There were some mistakes, but you get away with those mistakes against the lesser teams. Georgia made them pay. And what do we talk about in terms of the keys going into that game? Turnovers. Run the football, end of story.
Yeah.
And Georgia was able to run the ball, though not great, and they stopped Tennessee's run game. They totally dominated the line of scrimmage, and Tennessee turned the ball over three times when they hadn't turned the ball over at all in the first two games, one of only five FBS programs who have done that. And then the penalties was another area, too. So you're just asking the better team to run away from you, and it happened. And, you know, a lot of Jeremy Pruitt today, when he was talking about the turnovers and some of the issues they had on offense, he said that they had communication issues on offense where they had problems identifying the Mike linebacker. And you think, identifying the Mike linebacker, that's pretty basic. Quarterbacks have to do that, but it's not always on the quarterback. And he elaborated on that a little bit, you know, center and quarterback. So they all have to kind of work together and then communicate to the backs. He said that on misidentifying the Mike linebacker, it cost them big on at least four plays in the game. So, you know, look, Brandon Kennedy's a six-year player. Jerry Garantano's a fifth-year player.
Yeah.
Can't happen.
No doubt. So our conversations with you leading up to this point on Mondays, there was a lot of high praise for this offensive line. They got blown up on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So who was more at fault for the turnovers, you know, the fumbles and the interceptions in Garantano, or was it the offensive line? Was it more about the quarterback or the offensive line, or was it a little bit of both? I was amazed at, you know, all this praise for this Tennessee offensive line, and they look like five freshmen out there. They got manhandled.
Well, like I mentioned before, it was a step up in competition. There's no doubt about it. And maybe the average fan isn't familiar with Ojulari and some of those guys on that D-line, but they've been really good. And they were a different level of speed and athleticism off the edge. Wanya Morris had a great second game, really struggled. Cade Mays was at right guard started right guard in the game, but then played right tackle, and he was easily beaten off the edge. I mean, pressure up the middle, off the edges, it was everything to look that way it was everything. It was Georgia giving looks that the quarterback and the center didn't identify. It's holding on to the football. Some of it is just it's the ball security. And, you know, people talk about how Jerry Garantano wants it so bad that at times he tries to do too much because he wants to be successful. And he's made really good decisions the first couple of weeks, sailed some throws, not been perfect, but protected the football. Well, in the second half, that all his decision-making went away. I mean, when you're getting pressure in your face and you're going to off your back foot try to throw and hit a guy on a crossing route, don't be a hero. So it was a lot of things. But, yes, the O-line, for the number of five stars that they have in that group, for as well as they played the week before, I mean, great defense or not, that was disappointing, and they need to be much better. So to look that way, Darren, it's all of the above to have that kind
Vince,
of output.
Those tackles were five stars, were they not?
Yeah, they got a bunch of five stars. Donnell Wright, right tackle, five star. Cade Mays, right guard, five star. Trey Smith, left guard, five star. Wanya Morris, left tackle, five star. And obviously Brandon Kennedy is a 6-year player.
Yeah, I mean that's not, like I said, that's not freshman. There's a whole lot of stars. As you know, I get it. It's just a tag, but man, I get it. Georgia's good, but my goodness, I did not expect that. Okay, so with that being said, then how would you rate Garantano's play overall?
Well, obviously not good enough. In the first half, he was efficient. I think he only had two incompletions, protected the football, took advantage of the deep shots and just getting the ball up to Palmer and let him do his thing. Sometimes that's Tennessee's been their best play under Garantano, is let him throw it deep and let the receivers go make a play for you. So it was excellent the first half, and it was really bad in the second half. And for this team to take the steps that fans expect, that the program needs, there has to be that improvement. And through two games, when I was asked, is Garantano better? You had to say yes, because he protected the ball better than last year. Well, he reverted back to it this year. And Pruitt was asked in the post game by Jimmy Himes, was there any consideration to make a switch at quarterback? And he said no. He said, look, there's a lot of, he said, there's a lot of factors in it. It's not just one person. We got to be better. There's one of the penalties and all the other stuff too. But, and he was asked again today and he said no. He said, Jarrett's our quarterback. Here's the one interesting thing is that Tennessee scrimmaged with their young players. A lot of guys that missed a ton of time because of contact tracing in preseason practice. They held a young player scrimmage Sunday night, and Harrison Bailey took every snap, all 49 of that scrimmage. And you could potentially read between the lines and say they're trying to fast track them to get them ready. Well, he was probably the one player that was most impacted by missing a lot of time during preseason camp. So it could also be just trying to make up for that lost time. But I think if anyone's going to come in for Garantano, if his struggles continue in turning the football over, I think he's the guy. And I think they do see that he could be the guy to at least come in and take that position. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I thought that was an interesting note and interesting that they're having this young person scrimmage. But it's for him, Garantano can win a fair amount of games if he just protects the football and makes good decisions. And when you melt down like that, it has a domino effect, and you got no shot to beat those teams. And again, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, winless for Pruitt against those three big teams.
Mm. Something else that stood out to me on Saturday is they got nothing on first down plays. So they were starting second and long a lot on Saturday. And that just simply, there you go. If you want to start beating the good teams, you can't put yourself second long, 80% of the time or more throughout the course of a game. They got nothing done on first down. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, and here's another part of that. A lot of times you would say, well, that's because they're conservative just running the ball. No, they just weren't efficient throwing the ball on first down when they did. And I don't think they were honestly committed to the run enough in the first half. I know they were getting stuffed a lot, but that's the kind of thing that could get a residual effect later in the ball game when you run. You're not going to always have the same lack of success in the first quarter versus the fourth quarter. So I didn't think they really gave the run game enough of a shot, and I didn't think they had the variety in the run game as well. I wonder if, because of all the complex things that Georgia does defensively, if Tennessee just decided, hey, we have a better chance to just run these basic plays and hope to do them well versus trying to do too much. I thought they'd have a much more diverse game plan and play calling than they did. So I was surprised by that, but absolutely. They were third and long, and Georgia could just pin their ears back. And then when you get behind, I also mentioned as a key part of that game going in, is Tennessee had to play from ahead. Well, they did briefly at the very beginning and start of the third quarter, but just didn't have the distance on the scoreboard to force Georgia to play one-dimensional. And obviously things turned quickly there in that third quarter.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, brought to you by Turner Security, powered by TechCore for all your security and networking needs. All right, multi-part question coming here for you. Henry Toto.
Toto, yeah.
Thank you. Is the best player on defense right now for the Vols, agree or disagree?
Oh, yeah. It's not close.
Okay, and that leads me into the next part. Who's second, and how far is the gap, and how big of a problem is that right now for this team?
Well, I think it's a problem. There's been so much inconsistency with everybody else. And, you know, Toto was beaten, and I guess it was a second quarter on a play in the middle where he took a wrong step to the outside and got beat inside and set up a Georgia score. But outside of that, he was fantastic, and he always is. Everybody else is at issues. Guys getting beaten, guys not getting off the blocks, just, you know, Banks and Crouch. Those guys, especially Banks, good in run defense, put them out in coverage, and teams have been picking on them, then they get beat. The slot position continues to be an issue. Tennessee giving so much up to that slot receiver, and teams know it. Bryce Thompson, this is the first game he played some corner. He probably has the next best potential, but even he hasn't exactly been perfect, and he hasn't been fully healthy either. So he's probably the next guy, I would say, but, man, everybody else has been up and down. Maybe Kevon Bennett is next on that list. I guess DeAndre Johnson, but he had that terrible targeting call. You know, 3.5 sacks coming into the game, but it's not like he's been perfect either. They don't have any other stars on that defense, and that is an issue for them.
Is that something that you see possibly being improved before the season's over, or is that going to be a problem that's going to haunt them the rest of the way?
Well, I think it is. What I'll say more than an issue, I'd say it will limit what they can be this year, because I think potentially they could have some from their freshman class, like a Keyshawn Lawrence, Tyler Barron at one of those outside linebacker spots has played a little bit, and he's flashed. Morgan Joseph's another guy that flashes, but then those guys make freshman mistakes as well. So maybe somebody can develop into a star, but to expect that out of the gate as freshmen is tough. You know, Lawrence hasn't gotten on the field really on defense yet, even though Pruitt was very complimentary of him last week. So I just think the other guys are hard workers, effort guys, guys that just haven't been able to put it all together and be elite. They have a lot of good players that can vary in how much above average they are. And when collectively they're good, then the defense can be pretty good. But I don't think there are other stars on that defense that you're going to see change this D this year, maybe down the road, but not yet.
We saw the Lane train and Ole Miss give Alabama a game. It was a fun game, but Alabama is a team that knows how to finish. Georgia, you could say the same thing in the first half. Tennessee gave them a game. Georgia is a team that knows how to finish. But what did you see out of Georgia that makes you think they can go into Tuscaloosa and get it done against Alabama?
Well, the fact that they're better than Ole Miss overall. So, you know, maybe it won't be that kind of game. Georgia, I don't think, can score that prolifically like an Ole Miss. But because they have the defense they do, I think it would be a different kind of game. And then, you know, Alabama's margin of error shrinks a little bit. And so I just think it would be a different game that they'd be able to play. But I still, even though Georgia's so good defensively, I don't think Bennett is a championship type of quarterback. I don't think their running backs are as good. They don't have those explosive to the house runs that they used to have with Chubb and Swift. Those guys just aren't as good. And honestly, I think their O-line has been better the last couple of years. It's just the defense has made up for it some. But it's 2020 in college football. There's been a ton of surprises. So I think Georgia would have a shot against Alabama in a different kind of game. But I don't know top to bottom that they're better than them. But that doesn't have to be the case in 2020 in college football.
Alabama is 6-point favorite over Georgia.
And speaking of 6-point favorites, Tennessee appears to be about a 6-point favorite over Kentucky. And, Vince, I think you laid it out well, trying to gauge what we've seen after 3 weeks of play. It was certainly entertaining. So many games coming right down to the wire. So let's get to Kentucky. I would have found it unfathomable that Mississippi State could roll up the kind of numbers they did at LSU and then come up with 2 points against Kentucky. So give us your thoughts on 1-2 Kentucky. How would you lay out the matchup?
Well, I remember when we were talking about what to expect from the college football season, one of the things that I was adamant about is week to week, we're going to see one team look one way 1 week and then look totally different the next. And we're seeing that. But Mike Leach, now that's 2 eggs laid after their LSU win. And maybe that LSU win wasn't as impressive now that we've seen LSU. But still, for them to put up those kind of yards, I think Kentucky had the really bad call at the goal line against Auburn and didn't really recover from it. And then obviously the missed PAT against Ole Miss. I picked Kentucky to win that game and bounce back. I didn't give up on them, after their tough 0-2 start. I still think they're pretty good at the line of scrimmage. They can run the ball. They do it with a lot of different types of runs, something that Tennessee has not been very diverse at. They are very diverse in how they run the ball. The quarterback runs the ball. So I think they do some things that challenge Tennessee. They don't really throw it prolifically, so they can't take advantage of that against Tennessee secondary that's been iffy. And then Tennessee just they Garantano and that offensive line, they got to be better. And if they're not, then they can get beat at home. And then you're looking at a losing streak and where the season is going, because then you have Alabama next week. So I think the line actually is a little bit high. I want to see how Tennessee responds this week if this gets their attention. But to me, it's about the line of scrimmage and the quarterback. And I don't know that recipe is going to be that different, regardless of how different the opponents are the rest of the way.
You had, and I was actually listening to Tennessee's broadcast at the time, and they referred to some social media and the SEC talking about the crowds at the Georgia game needing to be dispersed better, separated, socially distanced better. I'm curious, as Tennessee gets ready for their next home game, I'm sure the question will come up, what's the right amount of fans? Will there be more fans this time? what about their system of executing it safely? Because you had Dan Mullen come out after the game. And, of course, he's influenced because Texas A&M did have some fans there, and they made some noise. They lose. So fresh off of that, he's saying, I want a full stadium. You also have the commissioner coming out last week and saying, hey, stay on these protocols. They're important, all of these things. So what's the answer to the question as they get ready to play a home football game this week?
Well, I think the Mullen was pointing to the rules being different in the state of Florida, but the SEC still has their their guidelines also. So I don't think the SEC is going to say Florida can have 90,000, but everybody else, you got to stay at 25%. And there's been variation in it. I'm not saying that they're mandating a certain number, but I don't think they would encourage that. So I think that Tennessee will probably do what they did the first game. I don't know that they would adjust it. There's so much politics involved and stuff like that also. So I don't know what the plan is. The only thing about the game, the specifics outside the field that Pruitt talked about today, going to wear those black jerseys that he had mentioned they would in the off season. And the reason for it appears to be Nike, because he said they had planned to, the players wanted to raise money for local organizations. And because of contracts, he said, or contractual things, they're not able to do it. But he said Nike is in the future, and it's something that the players want. But they'll do other things to try to raise money for those local organizations in this game. So that's the only thing he talked about. And honestly, I don't know that he would go down that route that Mullen did and get on that limb and said, we need a full packed house. He wouldn't do it strongly. He might do it subtly and kind of floating it out there.
My last one is another sort of league-wide issue that came up, and we've discussed this in past years. The SEC coming forward with their explanation of what was a pretty controversial call at the end of the Auburn-Arkansas game, where if people missed it, and it's Taylor Zarzor, who's got Nashville ties, actually I thought said it very well during the broadcast. He goes, I don't know if I've ever seen, I've seen a lot of plays where a quarterback tries to spike the ball, but I don't think I've ever seen it before where a guy juggles it, picks it up, and then spikes it, and in doing so spikes it backwards. I did not think that the league's explanation made any sense. I can see why Arkansas is beside themselves. I thought Auburn got almost a gift to be able to attempt the game-winning field goal, and to their credit, they made it. But that was a bizarre ending right there, and I don't get the explanation.
No, I heard the explanation as well. It's basically the circumstances of the play forced them to stay with the call that they had. So it doesn't surprise me that they had that kind. They came out and made a statement trying to defend it with, those kind of specifics. But look, Auburn now has been the beneficiary of two huge calls this year, two of the bigger calls of the season, because if Kentucky gets in when their running back was clearly in that game, and who knows what happens after that, but I mean, maybe that's the difference in that game as well. So, Auburn's benefited from it a couple of times, but I thought it was a terribly handled call. And once you fumble it, it's a backwards pass in the way he executed it. So just not very well done, but it's also not shocking.
Tennessee and Kentucky at Neyland Stadium Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time kickoff. So noon there where Vince is. Vols favored by 6. Of course, the big tilt is Saturday night. It's a 7 o'clock start on CBS, and it'll have Georgia pinned up against Alabama. Good stuff as always here on these Mondays. Vince Ferrara brought to you by Turner Security, powered by TechCore for all your security and networking needs. Vince, thanks for the visit as always. You have a great week, and congratulations again, Dad.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Have a great week.
Vince Ferrara, WNML, there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports. And when I say Dad, he just adopted a new puppy. Well, a dog that's 4 years old, so he's got himself a new friend at the house. So that is really cool.
I like right? it.
Yeah. We'll come back more on the other side. By the way, new Predator Nick Cousins will be, not Kirk, but Nick, at 1 o'clock. Right now I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And I've been talking to you about them for years because I've been going there for years, and a lot of you have been going there for years because they've been in this market since 2007, helping a lot of people in Middle Tennessee improve their quality of life. And who doesn't want that as we all get older? And they house so many things under one roof. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse. And their experienced staff want to help you with so many things, whether it's hormone replacement therapy. Maybe you've been feeling sluggish lately. You've been feeling off. You haven't felt yourself. Get in there. Get your levels checked. See what they can do for you. It's a can change everything. And by the way, it's only natural as we get older sometimes for your levels to drop. And so you don't feel like you did in your 20s. And that's okay. They can help you in that department. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, which is critical this time, right? In the middle, in 2020, in a pandemic, maybe you've been thrown off by your schedule. Everything has been off in 2020 and your just workout routine has gone by the wayside. You've tacked on a couple pounds that you would like to get rid of. Well, they've got programs and people that can get you headed in the right direction. If you need to schedule a consultation or an appointment, pick up the phone and dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always learn everything about them by going to their website, CoolSpringsMD.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.